Hello and welcome to another SNL Energy podcast. I'm Jennifer Zajac, senior editor here at SNL Energy, and with me today is my colleague Glenn Bozzert. He's senior editor and analyst with SNL Energy. Last week, he wrote an article titled, "With Congress Yet to Act, FERC Proposes New Regional Transmission Pricing Planning Requirements." And we thought we'd delve a little more into the details and have Glenn give his insight on it. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Let's start off with having you give us some background on what led up to FERC's idea of releasing its proposed rule that would take a regional approach to transmission cost allocation and planning requirements.
The industry has been calling on FERC for quite a while now to clarify pricing and planning requirements for transmission, largely due to a large increase in the number of renewable generation that is taking place across the country. A lot of times these renewable plants or sites are located long distances from where the energy will actually be used, so there's a great demand for and a need for the building of long-distance transmission lines, and there's been a lot of controversy about who should pay for these lines and how they should be paid for and also how they should be planned. Congress has stepped in somewhat by proposing different bills and legislation. In one bill, they actually wanted FERC to take an interconnection-wide approach where it would require FERC to look at the whole entire interconnection and oversee a process where new transmission lines would be built and planned on an interconnection-wide level. But that created quite a backlash. Some people thought that gave FERC way too much authority. And meanwhile, the utility industry has been kind of in limbo because they didn't know what the policies were or would be, and they didn't know. They want certainty about how that they will have their costs recovered and they'll have a way to ensure that they're not left on the hook for some of these costs. Further throwing a kind of a wrench into the works, in August 2009, Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals overturned a FERC order allowing PGM to allocate the cost of high voltage transmission lines using a postage stamp rate design. And under this design, the cost of these new lines would be spread completely regionally, so as kind of like a postage stamp rate. In contrast, a license plate rate design, the cost would be allocated more locally. According to the court, FERC violated cost causation principles because it failed to consider disproportionate impact switching to the postage stamp rate design would have on utilities in PGM's western region. It also faulted FERC for failing to detail the benefits the PGM's western utilities would receive under the postage stamp rate design. So basically the court was saying, FERC, you kind of impose this policy without looking at the impacts on individual utilities. So you got to go back and take a closer look at this and consider the costs and the benefits to individual utilities and see whether they're disproportionate to what the benefits they receive.
Glenn, given the series of events, I would assume that industry would prefer Congress to pass legislation, and perhaps FERC is doing this to actually give Congress a push towards that direction. Would that be safe to say? Can you tell us a little bit more on where Congress is at with their proposed bills regarding this?
Congress is kind of in limbo. I mean, Congress has tied these provisions to a greater climate change bill or a broader energy bill, but those bills have somewhat stalled lately. There's been pushes on both fronts to have them considered, but they have very different provisions in them. There's the Kerry Lieberman bill. There's the Senator Lugar just introduced his own bill, which is an energy-only bill. And then there's another bill as well that was passed by the Senate Energy Natural Resource Committee last year, which was much broader and which did contain a lot of these pricing and planning provisions that I was talking about. But those efforts have been somewhat stalled. The White House was supposed to have a meeting to try to come up with a game plan for maybe attacking energy and climate change together or possibly separately. But that meeting was postponed, which frustrated many in Congress because they wanted to act on this. And the bills, as they stand now, they don't seem to have the votes required to gain passage. So FERC has looked at this, and they've decided to push ahead on their own instead of waiting for Congress. But in doing so, various commissioners made several statements saying, well, we recognize this is a particular dicey time to be doing this, but we feel like we need to go ahead and do something anyway to provide a little certainty to the industry. And they also said that hopefully what they've done here or what they're proposing would help inform the debate in Congress and maybe help form whatever Congress ultimately decides to do on the issue.
Glenn, what are your thoughts on what we can expect to see next?
I think the proposal is going to go forward. I think FERC is not going to wait around, and it's probably wise not to do so. And maybe with that, I can just explain a few things that's in the proposal, which are important. As you mentioned, they want to take a regional approach to cost allocation and planning. So instead of imposing a one-size-fits-all approach to the whole country, basically what it's saying is each transmission provider has to participate in a regional process for creating a regional transmission plan. And significantly, for the first time, FERC said that these plans must take into account federal or state public policy requirements, such as renewable resource mandates that impact transmission needs. So this is important because this is the first time FERC has said this. Each transmission provider also must enter a transmission planning agreement with neighboring providers. And then another important issue that arose was what's called right of first refusal. Many transmission providers, they wanted to have the right, the first right, to build needed lines in their territory and in their area. That any of these lines, a lot of times these lines would be identified by existing planning processes. And the utility said, well, we want the right to build these before, for instance, a merchant transmission developer could develop those lines. But FERC said in this NOPR that, no, you can't have that right of first refusal. You have to allow other utility or other independent entities, merchant transmission providers, also compete to build these lines and apply to build these lines. And in developing the NOPR, actually some utilities had said in some related proceedings, well, if you take away our right of first refusal, we're just going to leave the RTOs. We're all going to abandon the RTOs, and there won't be anybody left in the RTOs. But FERC and Wellinghoff specifically, after the meeting talking about the NOPR, said, well, that threat is hollow now because we're actually going to apply this everywhere. So it doesn't matter whether you're an ISO or an RTO or outside of one of these grid operators, you're still not going to have the right of first refusal. So Wellinghoff said, well, you may run, but they can't hide, meaning, well, you're going to be stuck anyway, so it doesn't matter. Your threats just doesn't matter at this point. Finally, on cost allocation, FERC set out certain principles that these regional plans must establish, or the cost allocation plans must reflect. The main one being that costs have to be allocated in a manner that is, quote, at least roughly commensurate with the distribution of benefits. In this way, FERC wants to ensure that the consumers who benefit the most from these new transmission lines are actually the ones who pay for them, whereas those who don't benefit from these new lines won't have to pay for them. And then finally, like the planning requirements, FERC is requiring neighboring regions with different cost allocation schemes to work out their differences for in regards to lines and transactions where energy is moved through both their regions. And if they can't work out their differences, FERC said it would get involved and it would decide, but it hopes to do this only as a last resort.
Glenn, given that utilities are not going to be happy with this, does this mean we're going to see a lot of litigation? We're going to see this fought out in courts? And my second part of the question is, how do the states feel about this?
Well, those are good questions. I think some utilities actually would welcome the NOPR because it would provide some certainty, whereas others would not because they would, and their customers would have to probably pay more under these cost allocation schemes. So, of course, this will be litigated in court. And as far as the states go, FERC included a lot of language in their NOPR saying, well, nothing we're doing here should intrude on states' traditional jurisdictional responsibilities regarding planning and local planning of transmission lines and distribution lines, or the way states deal that, you know, the local lines, the cost of local lines should be allocated. But those lines are not really the lines that are issued here. These are much bigger interstate lines that's the subject of the NOPR. And so that might be a bit dicey, too. The states may object. FERC is trying to be conciliatory to the states and trying not to trample on their traditional jurisdictions. But we'll see. I guess there will be comments on this NOPR. I think they're due in 60 days. And then we'll see what their reaction is.
Glenn Bossert, he's our senior editor and analyst here and our FERC expert at SNL Energy. Thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And that wraps up another SNL Energy podcast. Thanks for listening.